Man, and that's where we're at tonight, in the house of the Lord. Amen. I'm excited. You know, I was thinking about it even last week, but even this week we're even closer to it. We only have two more Wednesdays in this facility. Two more Wednesdays. It's bittersweet. You know, I enjoy this facility, but I tell you what, you get over there in that new one, spend some time in it, walking around and praying for it. And today I heard that they turned on the speakers and were playing all the sound and all those things, and they were just telling me how good it sounded and all those things. I thought it better. We paid a lot of money for it. But I'm just excited about what God's doing. Amen. Excited about His plan for us in the earth and His timing for us. And amen. We're taking time to even come into a greater awareness of what that plan is and a greater awareness of the fullness of it. And I believe not only should we be doing that for this church, but this is a time where you ought to be doing it for your life. Amen. Walking in a greater awareness of the fullness of God's plan for you. Amen. What you should be doing, who you should be doing it with, where you should be going. Just really becoming aware of why God placed you here. And so I'm excited about what God is doing here. You know, at the beginning of this year and really at the end of last year, I was praying about this year, and the Lord told me to concentrate on two subjects when we're teaching. And those two subjects were to be faith and how to be led by the Spirit of God. And I got the sense with those two subjects that they were both designed through their teaching to get us over into the plan of God. It takes faith to get into that plan. You don't just get in it. It takes faith. And it also takes being directed and being guided and being sensitive to that plan. And so we're going to teach on things all throughout this year, always various subjects. But I think everything will have that kind of undertow to it, bringing us back to faith, God building up our faith to walk in His plan, and God leading us by His Spirit to get over into that plan as well. And tonight, I don't feel is any different. So go over, if you will, with me in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 14. If you don't have a Bible and you'd like a Bible, our ushers there in the aisles now, you can lift up your hand and they will give you one. If you don't have a Bible at all, feel free to keep that one. Amen. Matthew chapter 14. In the Old Testament, we see David, and of course, David's great feat was David and Goliath. He did a lot of other things, but that's probably the thing he's most known about, known for. And you know the story. David went down there, saw Goliath mocking the troops, and basically asked, "Why hasn't anyone killed this guy yet?" And they told him, "Well, look at him." And then he said, "Well, I'll go fight him." And then they started listing the benefits of what the man would be given who went out and fought Goliath. And they told him, "Great riches will be given unto that man. That man will have the ability to marry the king's daughter. And also that he would be made completely debt-free, him and his entire family. Any debts that they had would be canceled, be removed." Well, David liked the sound of that. He told him, "Tell it to me again." And so they told him again. They said, "Whoever fights this giant, they'll have great riches. They'll get to marry the king's daughter." We don't know how good of a blessing that was, unless we had a picture, I suppose. But I guess it did have other perks to it. But then thirdly, they told him that that man would be made completely debt-free, his and his entire household, his entire family. And that word had power to it, because that word was coming straight down from the king. And where the word of a king is, there's power. Where the word of a king is, the kingdom's resources backs the king's word until that word is fulfilled, until that word is accomplished. So with every word from God, who is the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who rules the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, with every word He gives, there's power within that word that is self-fulfilling power, meaning He won't back down from it. When God's word is sown into your heart and you receive His word as your word, then all the kingdom, all the resources of the kingdom are yours to accomplish that word. He'll see it all the way through to the end. See, a king will never separate himself from his word. We see an example of this in the book of Matthew chapter 14. There was a king there named Herod, and he promised his daughter when she did this little dance in front of him and in front of these other guys he was with, that he would give her whatever she wanted. Well, her mother was a wicked woman, and she desired to see John the Baptist be executed. And so you know the story. The mother pulled the daughter over to the side and said, okay, he's given you his word, and he'll watch over that word to perform it. And so what I want you to do is to get him, meaning your father, when he asks you what you want, to ask for John the Baptist's head. And so sure enough, she did that. And notice after she asks for it, after she dances and asks for his head, notice what happens here in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 9. It said, and the king was sorry, nevertheless, watch this phrase, for the oath's sake. He didn't want to do it, but for the oath's sake. Now, he didn't make just an oath. He said, whatever you want, I'll give it to you. But in his mind, a king can't be separated from his word. So when he said that, he was bound to it. He was tied to watch over that word. And even though he liked John and didn't want to execute him, he wouldn't separate himself from his word. Now God's the same way. God and his word are one. When you see God's word on something, you see God's will in that subject, in that area. And he will watch over that word to perform it. He'll see it all the way through to the end. He will not be separated from it. Just as Herod, a wicked man, wouldn't be separated from his word because he was a king, God, who is completely holy and completely righteous, is the exact same way. He will not be pulled away from his word. Now, what our goal is as Christians, as believers, is to find out what God said. Not what we think he said, not what we want him to say, and not what other people said. It's our goal, your goal, to find what God has said concerning his will for this earth and your life. And friends, there's a particular subject that I want to get into tonight that I have never really studied out before until last year, the end of last year. But friends, I'm telling you, the more I study it and the more I see it, I see God's word concerning this subject. And this subject, it's a big subject. It's a subject that a lot of our minds haven't been completely wrapped around to. In fact, in the natural, if you started talking about this to your average businessman or even your average homeowner or even your average college student, and you started talking about it, it would seem to them like it's impossible. Because this subject goes completely opposite of the world system, of the world's way. But let me be the first to say, God is smarter than the world. The world may have ideas on how to raise children, but friend, they're not smarter than God. The world may have ideas on what to do with money, but they're not smarter than God. The world may have ideas on how a marriage should be run, but friends, they're not smarter than God. And it's our job to submit over to his way, submit over into his will. And so this subject we're going to talk about, it's going to challenge you. I know it has challenged me, but we're the deep sheep. We're over here on Wednesday night, so we can handle it. You can handle it. And as we teach on it, whether it's just for tonight or whether it's for the next couple of Wednesdays or however long the Lord tells us to teach on it, faith's going to come. And when that faith comes, it's not your job to try to figure out how can I do that. No, just keep letting faith come. And as faith comes into your heart, the how will take care of itself. And so the subject that I want to talk about tonight, that I feel led to talk about, and not just, I'll say this, this is not just for a desire. I feel as if in my heart, and I haven't had the opportunity or the time to pray this out as much as I should, but I sense in my heart that there are some things in the world that are changing. Some things that are changing. And as we get over into the next couple of years, you're going to be glad if you obeyed the subject I'm talking about tonight. You're going to be glad if you did it. And for some people, if you don't do it, you're going to be sorry you didn't. Because this is something that this world system And we mentioned that phrase before already. But this world system, it's so inflated with pride. And with pride, there's always a fall. There always will be. There always has been. And so with that, for those of us who are tied to that world system, when that world falls, so will we. But if we're tied over into God's ways, tied over into God's kingdom, it doesn't matter what happens in this world, we're the light of it. And the darker it gets, the brighter we get, until that brightness consumes the darkness. And the subject that I feel led to talk about is the subject of being debt-free. In every way. And when I say debt-free, I mean completely 100% debt-free. Now, I'll be honest with you, and I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but I'll be honest with you, I never considered even the possibility of not having a home mortgage. Even as a faith man, go over to the book of Proverbs. I'm skipping around here a little bit more than I want to, but it's okay. Go over to the book of Proverbs. And look here in the book of Proverbs in chapter 22. Chapter 22. A couple of months ago, really, I guess it was towards September, start of September, over into the beginning part of October, I began studying the subject of getting out of debt. Now, I mentioned this before, but it'll bear repetition. This ministry has been debt-free ever since 1997. Now, you know we're over and building a new building. And with that, we're taking out a loan, taking out money to complete it. We did the majority of it. And we're taking out far, far less than most people would take out to do anything. I think even in the natural, we'll have it paid off in a couple of years with no outside help, and or if no miraculous things happen, which I know they will. But just in the natural speaking, it's no problem for us to handle it and knock it out, not just at the for the term, but quick and fast. Amen. Just even in the natural. But with that, I want it above the natural. And so I started studying the subject of being getting out of debt is where I started, getting out of debt. And as I began studying the subject, I went back to a lot of the tapes that my father preached in 1997, that year when we got out of debt. And he was calling that year, all throughout that year, the year of the Lord's release. And so I started studying out that subject, what it meant. And as I'm listening to these things, faith is being built up in my heart. I'm discovering God's will concerning debt. And faith begins where the will of God is known. Well, as I'm studying that out, I'm not only receiving faith and receiving insight that God wants this ministry debt-free, but also faith started coming into my heart, and really I began seeing God's will concerning it, that God wants me debt-free. God wants His children debt-free, completely independent from this world system. That regardless of what happens with the banking industry or with anyone else, we are not tied to it whatsoever. And we're so far removed from it that literally people have to start coming to the church and to believers because they're walking in the fullness of God's plan. Friends, I'm telling you, this is not charismatic hubbub. This is not smoke. I'm telling you, friends, I started studying it for myself from the Word of God. Now, this is our goal as a church, is to learn God's Word. We're not learning the opinions of man. We're learning the Word of God. And as I began seeing this subject, friends, I'm telling you, it dawned on my heart that debt and interest to our money is the equivalent to sickness to your body. It is a terrible thing that has held more people in bondage and families in bondage for years. But like I said, in my mind, I didn't ever think about even getting out of debt. I was telling my wife today, you know, even in teaching the subjects of vision and faith, I'd be in the house I'm now visioning the next house instead of visioning that house paid off. are envisioning the next car versus paying off a car, just because this subject of being debt-free was something I wasn't familiar with. And friends, that is the enemy's tactic. He wants you bound any way he can bind you. And our generations from years past has been a generation that has taught people to get in debt. To get in debt. A house is your greatest investment. Take out debt. Take out debt. Take out debt. And friends, I'm telling you, that is opposite of God's way. Proverbs, look at this. Proverbs. I never thought it could be any different. Proverbs 22. And notice this in verse 7. Watch this. Proverbs 22. Well, let's start in verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, how many of you have heard that scripture before? Amen. We're to train up a child in the way that he should go. Well, what is that way? Watch the next scripture. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Train up a child in the way that he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. And the very next thing he goes into talking about is money and taking on debt. And friends, I'm telling you, I never knew that there was any other way, because that's all I had ever seen. If you want a house, you go take out debt. If you want a car, you go take out debt. And I saw a glimpse of the freedom that God wants us walking in when this church was paid off in 1997. See, come later then, my father passed away April 17, 2001. And this church was paid off at that time. And you see the freedom that comes with being debt-free. Because with that, even though we went through things in the natural, and even though we went through tithes and offerings dropping off and people not coming to church, and it seemed like people were staying away from Word of Life Church and all of those kinds of things, but we never lacked. In fact, all throughout that time, we're giving thousands and tens of thousands to other ministries. If we didn't have anyone tithing or anyone giving, the bank couldn't have taken away this place. What is that? It's liberty. It's freedom. It's being independent of the world. And so I saw a measure of that. And that's where that original seed of faith came, with paying off that next facility and paying off the facility we're going through, is remembering what I saw as a child. I saw my father pay off this debt in 1997. I remember the bill being burned. I remember it like it was yesterday. That seed was sown in my heart, and now that I'm older, I'm not departing from it. I saw the freedom, and with this freedom, you see, the borrower is servant to the lender. As long as you're tied into that lender, you are their servant. You don't own that house. The bank owns that house. And it's the same deal, friends. We've got to come over into this, that this is not God's best. Yes, you can operate that way, but it is not God's best that you operate that way. Just like your body, you can have sickness in your body and not be in sin, but it is not God's best for that sickness to be there. There is a higher way, and there is a greater way. And friends, I'm not saying it's a sin to take on debt, but I am saying, just as sharp as you try to stay out of sickness, you should try to stay out of debt that same way. And just as when sickness gets in your body, you fight to get it out of it, if you are in debt now, you ought to be fighting to get that debt away from you. And the best part about it is that when we do it, and we do it with God, God backs us up. And when we start expecting that debt to be paid off, supernatural power kicks in motion, and the year of the Lord's release kicks over in, and we're made free from all of our debts. Friends, I'm telling you, God has so much to say on this subject. It's amazing. It's amazing. And I know a lot of you are wondering, and I began wondering it too. How in the world would you ever pay off a mortgage? How in the world would you ever be completely out of debt? And I heard, it was interesting, I picked up a series by George Pearson's, Pearson. He is Brother Copeland's son-in-law. And he was talking about over in, I think it was 1998, 1999, that Brother Copeland was teaching on getting out of debt. And he was in debt. In fact, he was just about to buy a new home and take out a big mortgage to get it. And he heard Brother Copeland teaching on that. And he had been around Brother Copeland since, I think, 1976. But it was during that time in 1998, 99 there, where that word became a rhema word to him. You know what I mean by that? A rhema word is God speaking that word to your heart. This is not just something that your ears are hearing and saying, oh, that's good, and it's good note-taking and makes for good fodder later. No, a rhema word is a word that God is speaking directly to your heart. And he's sitting in there and he's listening to that. And so afterwards, he goes up to Brother Copeland. And he says, Brother Copeland, he's a pastor of a church. Pastor Pearson, he's, I guess, Eagle Mountain Church. He's the pastor of that church. And he asked Brother Copeland, he said, now I'm a pastor. I've got church members under me. And he said, what am I supposed to do if a young couple comes up to me and they're wanting a new house, desiring a new house, and they come up and ask me what they're supposed to do about debt and what are we supposed to do about a mortgage payment? And Brother Copeland held out his hand and he said, I would give them these tapes. Well, there weren't any tapes there. He just held out his hand. He said, I would give him these tapes. I'd tell him to listen to them for 6 weeks. And then after listening to it for 6 weeks, then come back and make their decision. He said, that's what I'd tell them. He got what Brother Copeland was telling him, that Brother Pearson needed to do a teaching and teach some tapes and some messages on the subject so that he could be able to answer the people. And then he came to Brother Copeland and he said, well, I'm about to take on a mortgage to buy a new home. And he said, I want you to get an agreement with me that we get this house for the price I'm going after it for. And Brother Copeland said, I'll do it on one condition. I'll do it on one condition. He said, that condition is, before we do it, I have to teach you that this is not God's best. And after I teach you that, you can take out one, I'll get an agreement with you, and we'll believe God that you get it paid off quick. But he said, if not, we'll believe God that you get the money you need to pay it off before you ever get in it and to pay cash for it. Well, he went the first way. He went and took out the mortgage, and they're believing God to pay it off. So I like that because I don't want to get it across that it's a sin to borrow money. But what I am saying is just as you would fight sickness, and just as when your child is in sickness and you'd want them out of it, you'd fight to get them out of it, you'd do whatever it took to get them out of it, you wouldn't put more sickness on them. Amen. That'd be your focus, to get them free. That when we get over into debt and talking about this subject, that you should fight to get out of it, and you definitely shouldn't put more. Go over the book of Corinthians. Don't worry. Somebody says, what should we do about this? Well, I'm going to teach some tapes and just listen to them. Faith will come and you do whatever you want to with that faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and let's look at verse 8. And if you can, pull that up for me in the Amplified. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8 in the Amplified. While they're pulling that up in the Amplified, we'll start reading, and we'll start reading with verse 6 and then read to verse 8. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he has purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now God's talking about money here. And he goes on talking about it, and he says in verse 8, and God is able to make all grace. Now that's an important word, especially considering what we're talking about on Sunday mornings. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Now notice he didn't say he would. Said he's able. So grace isn't just going to come. It's like we talked about on Sunday morning. You can qualify for more grace. But just because there's more grace doesn't mean you'll automatically walk in it. There's some things you got to do to get that more grace. And he's saying that there's a grace that God is able to make abound towards you. And notice what that grace will do. That you always, in all your ways, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto every good work. Now notice, God is able to make a grace abound towards us. And this grace will do something. This grace will make us have all sufficiency. Meaning everything that we come in contact with, we have a sufficient supply. A supply that is able to take care of anything that comes our way. Watch this in the Amplified. And God is able to make all grace, every favor, and earthly blessing come to you in abundance. What's going to happen when this happens? So that you may always, and under all circumstances, and whatever the need. Would that include a house payment? Would that include a new car payment? Whatever the need, be self-sufficient, requiring, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished, keep going, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. Now go back to the last screen if you can. Back up. Watch what he says here at the end. You notice the phrase, be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support. Would that include a bank? God is able, didn't say he would, but he's able to put so much grace on your life that you turn into being self-sufficient, requiring no aid or financial support, equipped for every good work and enough to give to every charitable donation. Friends, it's not your job to figure out how. It's just your job to believe God is able to make all grace abound towards me, that I can be self-sufficient, requiring no aid or financial support, that my knee will bow to no man, only my God. He's able to do it. He is able to do it. Now go over to Romans chapter 13. And stay in the Amplified on my screens, if you will. Romans chapter 13. That past scripture is worthy of getting an Amplified Bible all by itself. I'd get it and write it down, and I'd quote it daily. I'm just telling you what I would do. But if I was you, if I could live in your body and make you do something, I think I'd take that scripture, write it out in the Amplified, put my name in it, and say it daily. Now notice this in Romans chapter 13. If on the screens, you can go to verse 6 in the Amplified. Well, I'm sorry, go to verse 8 in the Amplified. We'll start off with verse 1. It says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God, the powers that are ordained of God. Now what he's talking about here is supporting and honoring. Well, I guess that word support wouldn't be the correct word. But honoring everyone who's in a position of authority. Be it policeman, be it a mayor, be it a governor, be an elected official of any kind. We are to honor them. And so this whole chapter is talking about honor. And he goes into talking about honoring your government and things like that with finances. And watch what he says here in verse 6. He says, "For this cause pay we tribute also." That word tribute just means taxes. "For this cause pay ye taxes also. For they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues." That word dues just means money. "Render therefore all their money, taxes," that word tribute means taxes, "taxes to whom taxes are due. Custom," that word custom means money, "money to whom money is due. Fear," that word fear just simply means respect, "respect unto whom respect is due. And honor to whom honor is due." You know what? If you can, put up verse 7 in the Amplified. I want to make sure that they can see that I'm getting these translations right. "Render all men their dues, pay taxes to whom taxes are due, revenue or money to whom money is due, respect to whom respect is due, and honor to whom honor is due." Now, we've reading these scriptures, what is God talking about here? He's talking about money and using that money wisely and paying what's due to our government and paying our taxes and all of those things. But he's talking about money here. There is no question about it. I've heard a lot of people teach on what I'm talking about. And I've heard people talk about God's talking about money. And I've heard other people say God's not talking about money. Now, friends, I did a deep study of this. And I'm telling you, without a doubt, I am 100% certain God is talking about money here. He's talking about money. He's talking about taxes. He's talking about revenue. He is talking about money. That's important when we go over into the next scripture in verse 8. "Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth hath fulfilled the law." Watch this in case you're saying, well, you know, that doesn't mean what it really means. You look it up in the Greek and it means exactly what it means. Watch this in the Amplified. "Keep out of debt." It's talking about money. "Keep out of debt and owe no man anything except to love one another." This word is talking about debt. And God is adamant here. He's not pulling any punches. He's saying, keep out of debt. Owe no man nothing. Brother Copeland, I mentioned this, that when I was studying this, in the process of it all, I had a Believer's Voice of Victory come across my desk back there. And I opened it up. And I couldn't get away from this particular advertisement for his Branson Victory campaign. And so I kept that page on my desk for a while, just seeing what God wanted me to do with it. Felt impressed later to go up there. Now, I'll be honest and say, I wasn't, especially at that time, familiar at all with Brother Copeland. Didn't know what he taught, didn't know what he preached. I knew he was probably very similar to Brother Hagin because I saw him at some of the events and things. But people would probably classify me as a Haginite. That's who I listen to. That's my feeder. That's my source. I've got every one of his messages, and I listen to him daily. That's my main feeder. That's my main source of supply. I always had listened to it and just never really got over into the other camps. I just, not for any other reason other than I danced with the one who brung me. Just enjoyed his teaching. It was solid. I knew it was always middle of the road and people get off on excesses on either side. And I trusted Brother Hagin because I knew him. Well, anyway, I thought it was interesting that the Lord prompted my heart to go to this meeting. So I went up there and even before then just started grabbing a hold of some different material. And immediately when I got up there, I knew why God sent me. I knew exactly. As soon as Brother Copeland got up to take up the offering, I knew exactly why God sent me there. Because he was talking about this subject of being debt-free and getting out of debt during that offering. And some of the things that he was saying was bringing more light to what God was already showing me. Because I never really heard Brother Hagin teach him the subject all that much. I'd heard bits and pieces, but not the whole length and breadth of what I was seeing in the Word of God. And when I got over there with Brother Copeland, some of the same things that I was seeing in my own personal study, just me and the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, I began hearing someone teach along that line. And then he gave his testimony. And when he gave his testimony, I said, that's why I'm here. I didn't have to go to any other meetings after I heard that. I went to him, but I didn't have to. When I heard his testimony, I said, that's why I'm here. Because in my mind, when I was seeing God's word concerning the subject of getting out of debt, I'll be honest with you, my faith was shaken a little bit in the sense of I was thinking, I know my vision. I know my vision for my life. I know my vision for my ministry. And it's big. And I didn't see how there would be any other way than to go and borrow money from a time or two. And as I was hearing his testimony, and I went online and saw some things as far as what his ministry was doing and different things, and saw, you know, his ministry can take, and this is no secret to anyone, but in any given year can take in $100 million a year. And he was telling his story personally about what God was doing. Since 2007 up till now, he's given to other ministries over $42 million. Every one of Reinhard Bunke's crusades, he underwrites them. Pays for them in full. Amen. And so he's talking about some of these things. And he told his testimony. I'll give you the testimony and we'll close. We'll pick up with this next week. But he went to I think it was 1967, went to a Brother Hagin meeting. And in that meeting, Brother Hagin was talking about being a doer of the word. And what he said in the meeting was, when you come up to God's word concerning anything, and light comes, you have to make a decision to bow your knee to it if you're going to walk in God's best. And so at the end of the message, he had everyone bow their heads and he said, it's optional if you want to pray it or not, but what we're about to pray is you're going to make a commitment. You're going to make a commitment before God tonight. And if you pray this prayer with me, what you're going to pray is, when I see it in God's word, I'll not violate God's word. I'll honor it and I'll do it. And so he prayed that prayer. Well, a couple of weeks later, he's out preaching in Texas. And while he's preaching, in between services, he's just reading his Bible and comes over across this verse. Owe no man nothing. He thought, surely that can't mean what I think it means. And then he studied it, just like I studied it. And there ain't no getting around it, friend. When you study it, it's talking about money. And it's talking about not going into debt. And when he saw it, he had the same response almost I had when I started seeing some of these things. His heart sank. Just in the natural. Faith was shaken. Because he's planning on having a worldwide ministry too. And he, in 1967, didn't have a house payment, but he was $22,000 in debt. That's a lot of money in 1967. Personally, on the line for $22,000 in debt. That's things like cars and credit cards and all of those things. And so he saw that. And he also knew in his heart that Gloria was wanting nothing more than a house. And he was wanting nothing more than to grow his ministry. And he knew to do that, he needed to get out his tapes. And the tape duplicators were very, very expensive. And he was just about to take out a loan to buy this particular tape duplicators, because he didn't have the money for it. And so he saw his ministry not growing. And then he knew Gloria would see it as, we're never going to get a house. You have to pay cash for a house. You're never going to get a house. That's what he was thinking in his mind. And so he called, the Lord told him to call Gloria, and he didn't want to do it. But he called Gloria in eventually and showed her that. When she saw it, and they studied it out together. She didn't say anything. She just left the room. Because she prayed the same prayer. If I see it, I'm going to live by it. And so anyway, she came back in a couple of hours later. And she said, it doesn't matter what, and I'm paraphrasing, but it doesn't matter how we feel in the natural. God will provide. So he made that decision. That she made that decision. And he called up the guy who was he ordered the tape duplicators from. And he said, don't send them. Don't send them. I'm not in position to pay for them right now. Don't send them. We'll come back and get them later. And the guy said, well, I've already sent them. He said, they're on a Greyhound bus. They're going to get there tonight. You know, I guess they didn't have FedEx and all those things that we had now. Using Greyhound. He said, that Greyhound bus will get there tonight. Well, they got to the meeting there. And he was preaching. He had to preach that night. And they called up some phone that they had. I mean, they didn't have cellular phones and all those things like we have now available. But some way or another, he knew the time when that Greyhound bus was getting in. And he sent his father to go pick it up. They picked it up and put it in the trunk. And he just told the guy on the phone that he would pay to have it shipped back. Well, during this time, at the close of his message, he's walking out to go meet his father. And a lady comes up to him. I think it was a lady. Came up to him, tapped him on the shoulder, and said, I was praying and the Lord told me. Or no, went to the father. Went to the father and told the father, don't tell him who's given this to you. But just say I was praying and the Lord told me to give him this amount of money, something to do with tapes. And it was more than enough to cover the tape duplicators. And so his father didn't even know that what was in the truck was, or what was in the car was tape duplicators. He just knew he needed to go pick something up from the Greyhound station. And so he told Kenneth that. And that was the beginning of Kenneth's faith. It was God will provide. It's tape duplicators. God will provide. Why is this so? Why does God not want us in debt? We'll pick up with this next week. But why? I've already told a little bit on a Sunday morning. But friends, the more I study it, the more I see it. Number one reason is God doesn't want you bowing your knee to anyone but Him. We honor, we love, we respect, but God is our source. He is our source. And we are to lean on Him before we lean on anyone else. Like I said, am I saying don't take out a loan? I'm not saying that. You go with whatever is in your heart to go with, wherever your faith is at. What I am saying is God wants His people debt-free. And the more I want to encourage you, come. Because the more you hear it, and I'm telling you, I've moved past the point of frustration and past the point of how in the world. And I'm over into the place now where it's thank you, God. Thank you, God. Exactly. It is freedom. And you see so many scriptures we're going to lead you through. And we're not going to lead you to one or two. So many scriptures where you see God coming through saying, I want you free. Let me pay off all your debts. And it's supernatural. And it's God coming in and doing it. And it makes people want to praise. And it makes people want to give thanks. And it makes people excited because God came in and supernaturally did some things. And friends, I'm telling you, for you and me, once this faith gets in our heart, just like there is supernatural healing, and just like there is supernatural divine connections, there is supernatural debt cancellation. That's not funny or weird or overly charismatic or any of that kind of stuff. It comes straight from God. And there's not going to be put some money in my pocket and that money's going to get you out. No, there's not going to be any of that, friend. We're not going to take up any special offerings or anything like that unless God tells us to. We're going to do it straight from God's Word. And once that Word is sown into your heart, that faith is going to come and that truth is going to set you free. It's going to set you free. It's going to set me free. And I'm excited about it. Amen. I could keep going, but I won't. You have to come back. Every head bowed. Father, we come before you tonight. And Father, we just thank you for your saving power. You desire us free. You desire us walking in liberty. You desire us, Lord, to walk out our days with a God who watches over us, protects us, and meets all of our needs. And so, Father, we lean on you. We trust you. Help us in this faith journey. Help us build up our faith and how great you are and how big you are and how merciful and mighty you are to save us from whatever ails us. Father, we thank you, Lord, for freedom. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed from every type of bondage. Father, we thank you that includes financial bondage. Father, we thank you that there'll come a day in all of our lives where we'll be able to look back and say we don't owe any man anything. That you've made us self-sufficient in all things, having an abundance to meet every need. We thank you, Lord, for these things. And Father, we pray over our offering tonight. Thank you, Lord, for every gift and every giver. Father, you said in your word that when we tithe and when we give, you'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing we don't have room enough to receive. You said in your word, Lord, that when we give, it'd be pressed down, shaken together, and that gift would come back to us in many ways. We thank you, Lord, those things are happening tonight in Jesus' name. Father, we desire this not so we can just build more and do more, not so we can have more, but we want to be a blessing. We want to bear the burdens of the weak. We want to provide for the homeless. We want to heal the brokenhearted. Father, we want to put kids through school. Father, we want to go out into the homeless and minister to them and build them up and strengthen them, Lord. Father, we desire to be a blessing. And Father, we thank you that as we do so, your grace and your goodness overwhelms us so that we have all sufficiency in all things. We love you, Lord, so much, and we thank you, Lord, for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.